thank you for our country. We thank you, Lord, for this nation. Lord, we are blessed, and all you have to do is go overseas and just realize how blessed we really are as a nation. We don't take that for granted. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you're alive, that you're gracious, that you're kind, that your love endures forever. And, Lord, on this worship, on this Sabbath day, on this day that we remember that you walked out of that tomb alive, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would breathe on your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared, and we would encounter you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's prepare our hearts to worship with the prelude. Special thank you to Rich when I called him and said Katina's not coming, and he just graciously said he would play. And as he was playing that song, I haven't thought of that song in a long time. I know it's not Veterans Day, it's not Memorial Day, but just want to thank all the men and women that have served in the military and the families, because we are the nation that we are because of the sacrifice of so many. So we're just thankful. Would you please stand for our call to worship? It is taken from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14.
If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Amen. We're going to sing through God Bless America. We're going to sing it through twice. God Bless America. I was a student between my junior and senior year in college, and I had the opportunity to go to, it was the Soviet Union at that point, and to study Russian with students that were learning English. And we were paired up with students at Kiev State Pedagogical Institute. And that was a really hard summer. That was the summer before the Soviet Union ultimately ended up falling. And there was very little food over there, and it was a life-changing experience for me. And when we came back and we landed at Chicago O'Hare, and when we landed at the plane, we just, it spontaneously burst out in God Bless America. And it's, our country has issues, we've got problems, but while we are a blessed nation, we really are a blessed nation, and we have a lot to be thankful for. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, for the men and women that have sacrificed. Lord, we thank you. I can't think of today without my grandparents, both of them fighting in World War II. And, Lord, for just the sacrifices and the freedom that we have, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for, again, our nation. And you know more than any of us know, Lord, that we are not perfect, and we've got problems, and we do need to turn, and we need to return to you. But, Lord, we thank you. And we, it's exhorted in your word. Paul exhorts us to pray for our leaders, all of our governing authorities, so that we may live peaceful, godly lives. And so, Lord, we do that today. We pray for our government. We pray for our local government, our state government, our federal government. Father, that you would bless our leaders, that they would be men and women who honor you, who love you. And Lord, we pray for a turning of our nation back to you. And Lord, we know that that begins here. It begins in your house. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people who love you, who honor you, who fear you with a holy reverential fear, who love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Jesus, we need you, and we've turned our back on you, and Lord, we thank you for where we've come from, and Lord, we pray for a turning back to you in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those in this congregation that are grieving, that are mourning. We pray for Mary Cruz, God, in the death of her brother. We pray, Jesus, that you would comfort her, that she would sense your nearness, that she would sense your presence. We pray for the Martha Dean family, Jesus, that you would come alongside and you would bring comfort to the Dean family. Jesus. And Lord, we pray for Eleanor's daughter, Melanie, who's going to have surgery. Jesus, we pray peace over Eleanor, that you just fear would go off of her mind. Intimidation would go off her mind for this foreboding spirit, which is we command that spirit to leave Eleanor now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for a good report for Melanie. Pray healing for her in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Henry Imling, who looks like he may have to have surgery again on his ear. There's hearing issues there. And Lord, we pray for Henry that you would open those ears in the name of Jesus Christ, that all of the issues there from the cleft palate, Lord, that there would just be total healing and total closure of the things that need to be closed and an opening of what needs to be opened in his ear canals in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray you would bless him. We thank you for his family, for a mama and daddy who honor you and love you. And Lord, we just pray blessings over that whole family. And Lord, we thank you for the healing that you've given to Henry. And we pray, Lord, you're continued. You would finish the work for Henry Emily in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for our church, Lord, as we are going through the discernment process. And Lord, where do you want us as United Methodists? Lord, where do you want us? Lord, I pray that you would guard this body, that we would have wisdom in Jesus' name, that we would flow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in love, in joy, in peace, in patience, in kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, we pray for a holy fear of God, that we would have wisdom, that we would fear you, that we would love one another. And Lord, you are the great shepherd of the sheep, and we pray you would lead us on. We pray, Lord, as Stan comes on the 23rd, that you would give him wisdom. And Lord, that time would be a time of real clarity. And Lord, just come. We ask for your presence there and your discernment and your guiding into truth. Father, there are a lot watch over our coming and our going, both now and forevermore. And as people come, as people go, Lord, I pray that you would be a guard, you'd be a shield all around about them, in Jesus' name. We love you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We thank you, Jesus, for faithful givers. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this offering, you would multiply it, and you would bless the givers, Lord, that they would overflow with joy and abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Sing Glory Be to the Father. Testament lesson is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil.
Amen. How firm a foundation. You may be seated. So I was praying about what to do today. I was reminded of a word study that I did. It's a while ago now that I did it. I traced the word trust, the Hebrew word trust, batah, through the book of Psalms. And what I'm going to do today, it's a little unique. It's been fairly recently in my Bible study career that I've really, it's been probably in the last 10, 15 years that I've thought about, you look at the Psalms and you look at Proverbs and you tend to pick, you know, like a Proverbs 31, virtuous woman. But have you ever thought about Proverbs 31 in the whole context of the book of Proverbs? It changes the way you think about it. And the whole book of Psalms, we pull out and individual psalms. I've been doing that some this summer. But have you ever thought about the book of Psalms as a whole and why it was put in that particular order? Why it starts in Psalm 1 about talking about a wise person and being planted by streams of water, growing in the knowledge of the Lord. It starts there. And then the book of Psalms ends in exuberant praise and worship. Psalm 145 to 150, it's just bands, you know, like trumpets and horns and dancing and just exuberant worship. You ever thought about the why on that? It's a good, and we need to always think about that as, you know, when we read the scriptures. And why did the author put it in the order that he did? And so what's really fascinating, and we're going to do it really quickly. We won't be here all day, I promise. But I want to trace that word, the Hebrew word trust, through the book of Psalms, because it gives us a really good picture of what it means to trust in the Lord. That little Hebrew word, batak, has, and if you've ever studied languages, you know, you can't just say, and, you know, I when I was over in Kiev, and do we have a problem? Are we okay? I'm just going to keep going, okay? Okay. If you've ever studied a language, anybody say Spanish? You cannot say that this word means this, because there's nuances of meaning, and the Hebrew word for trust means that. That little word for trust, it means to rely on, it means to have strength, it means to guard, and it also means to rely on without suspicion. And that one's really convicting, because how many of us can really say that we trust the Lord without suspicion? It's really interesting. So I just want to do a quick run through of just an overview of what that really means. There's a psalm that says, "In God we trust," and that became an official motto. It's on our money, "In God we trust." But do we really? Do we really trust him? Do we really do that? And just going through, in God, that little word means trust. In God we trust. It has a nuance of meaning. In God we are safe. In God we are secure. In God who is our guard. In God we have confidence. Here it is. In God we have no suspicion. In God we rely, and in God we feel safe. What would happen if we really believed those statements? If we really believe that? If we really believe that in God we are safe? In God we rely on him? In God we trust and we rely on him without suspicion? We really believe that. I think a lot of us would have a lot more peace than we have, wouldn't we, if we really believed that. So let's just trace this word really quickly. As I was sitting down this morning and trying to not be here for 2 hours going through all of this and just really saying, Lord, what is it you want to focus on today? There's something that stood out, and I may, you have this. If you didn't get this, it's a blue sheet. And you can go through and trace that word. I'm not going to go through all of them today. But Psalm 4, verse 5 is the first occurrence of that word. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. What are right sacrifices? A right sacrifice, Psalm 51, it says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And I talked about last week the importance of having a humble heart. Jesus in the garden, he knew what it was going to cost him to go to the cross. And he, everything in him, his flesh, he didn't want to suffer the pain, the agony, the separation from his Father. And there was agony in him. And yet Jesus himself prayed, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That is a humble heart. Not going on our own way, not being arrogant and boastful, but in absolute surrender. Trust. That is a right sacrifice, having a humble heart. And this is what stood out to me today. Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Those who know your name. Those who know your name trust you. Moses, God called Moses out of the burning bush. And God's calling him to go and deliver the Hebrews out of slavery from Egypt. And God says, well, who will I say sent me? And God says, I am who I am. Tell them that I am sent you. It's the first occurrence of the word Yahweh. God's name in the Old Testament, Yahweh. So holy they couldn't say it out loud. A holy name. It means the God who is here. The God who is present. Those who know your name trust you. Angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to give birth to the Savior. And Joseph has an issue with that. The angel comes to Joseph and said, his name, you call his name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus' name means Savior. His name, Emmanuel, means God with us. How many of us would have less anxiety if we just really trusted in his name? His name means he's here. His name means he saves. His name means he is with us. We're going to come back to that because I think that that's something the Lord wants to highlight today. But let's just continue on just a little bit as we look at this Hebrew word trust. Psalm 13, verse 5. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice. Salvation. One of the biggest ploys of the enemy, the accuser, Satan, the devil, is his name means accuser, and he wants to accuse God to you and get you not to trust in his love and in his goodness. And the Psalm 13 says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. There's a few things in the Bible, a few names about God, and God is holy. It says very clear, God is holy. God is love. God is a consuming fire. God is spirit. And all of those things, we tend to kind of focus on one, or denominations, churches focus on one or the other, but all of those things are true. He is holy. He is love. He is spirit. And he is a consuming fire. And you read through the Psalms, but I've trusted in your steadfast love. That little word, steadfast love, it's a Hebrew word, hesed. And it's a word that means he's loyal. So many of us have been hurt and wounded by someone whose love was conditional, whose love was not loyal. But God is a lover. That's who he is. He's a fiery lover. He's a jealous lover. Not in a mean and cruel way, but he sent his son so much because he loves you and he wants a relationship with you, an intimate, personal relationship. And almost every funeral I preach, I read it yesterday at Martha's funeral, and it's like Romans chapter 8. Nothing, no demon, life, death, nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate us from his love. His love is fierce. His love is loyal. And when the enemy comes and tries to get us to doubt the cross of Jesus Christ, that he did what he did in dying, proves forever that he loves us. He loves us. We need to remember that. And we need to, Psalm 13, verse 5, but I've trusted in, I rely on, I don't have suspicion in your steadfast love. That's part of what it means in God we trust. We trust in his love. Psalm 22, verse 4. In you our ancestors trusted. They relied on you and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted, they relied on, and were not put to shame. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's rest. 27, verse 3. Some of you need to write these in a journal. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. So I am helped and my heart exalts. And with my song I will give thanks to him. It says concerning David that David encouraged himself in the Lord. David, outside of Paul in the New Testament, was one of the more persecuted people in the Bible. King Saul hated him. David was hiding out in caves and people were hunting his life. And yet it's David that's saying all of these things. Lord, I trust you. I trust in your love. I trust in your goodness. I trust in you and my heart rejoices. My heart exalts. There is a joy that we can have in the Lord when all hell is breaking loose all around us. When Paul and Silas are in prison, they're thrown in prison, you all. And yet, what are they doing? They're singing in the prison because they're trusting in him. They're remembering God's love. They're remembering his faithfulness. They're standing on his word. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we need to take these psalms and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Psalm 33:21. Our heart is glad in him because we trust, we rely on, we don't have suspicion in what? His holy name. What are things we trust in other than God? Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my bosom friend in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted the heel against me. Sometimes we're betrayed. Sometimes people, and not sometimes, people will let us down. They will let us down. If we put our trust in men, we put our full reliance on them, we're going to be disappointed. Psalm 44, verse 6. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. Nations throughout all history have trusted in their military might. When I read through Ezekiel in preparation of preaching what I preached last Sunday, I was really surprised at what Ezekiel prophesied against Egypt. And I've always, probably you do too, fascinated by the pyramids. I like watching the History Channel and National Geographic Channel and watching, you know, just some of the history of Egypt. Egypt was so strong, and it was strong for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And yet Egypt now is a weak nation. It's not the epitome of strength as it once was. And you know why? Because in Ezekiel, God is prophesying against Egypt. And he's saying, I'm gonna cut you down. And God's judgment came against that nation. And it's not the nation that it was. Judgment came. And when we trust our military, look at Rome. Rome, it seemed like it would be impossible for Rome to ever be destroyed. And Latin now is completely, it's a dead language. No one speaks it. God completely flattened it. If we trust in our military might alone, it's going to fail. And the psalmist says that. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. Psalm 49, verse 6. Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. It's talking about those people are going to fall. Look at Psalm 52, verse 7. See the one who would not take refuge in God, but trusted in abundant riches and sought refuge in wealth. It's going to vanish just like that. We can trust in other people. We can trust in presidents and princes. We can trust in our military might. We can trust in our wealth. But all of those things are going to let us down. The last occurrence of this little word, Psalm 146, verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Why did I want to focus on the themselves, will pray, and turn from their wicked ways. We're living in a nation right now that repentance and turning from our wicked ways, we don't even know what's wicked anymore. We don't even know what we need to be turning from. And I wanted to do this study today to contrast the life that we can have if we trust in the Lord versus those things that we trust in. In the Old Testament, they worshiped idols, little wooden things, golden things, and I would say there might be, but I doubt it. None of us go home and bow down to an idol in our house. We don't worship idols like that. But we do rely on our wealth. We do rely on our morality. We do trust in other people. We do think certain people are in government are going to help us and they're going to save us. But the Bible, the book of Psalms, is very clear that if you trust in those things, it leads to death and it leads to destruction. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Those who know your name trust you. I just want to remind you, I want to end this sermon with those who know your name. What is God's name? I mentioned a few of them. His name means he's present. His name means Savior. His name means he is with us. And let's look at just a few more. Those who know your name. Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Revelation 1, 4 and 5. John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace from him. His is his name. His name who is, his name who is, his name who was, and who is to come. That's his name. God is in the past. He transcends time. God is in our present, and God is in the future. He's with us in all of those things. We live in time, but God transcends time. It's a powerful, profound thought. He was with you in the past. Those times that were hard, those times that the enemy has tried to get you to doubt in God's goodness and his love. If that's you this morning and you're just like, you're stuck in the past, you're stuck in some trauma, say, God, I want to see, where were you? Ask him. Show me where you were in this situation. Show me where you were. I'd love to pray for you this morning if that's you, because he was there and he's with you now and he's going to be with you in the future. That's his name. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn, the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Again, sorry, I'm just thinking a lot about funerals. I have Martha Dean and thinking about, I had such a precious time with Martha the last time I saw her. She just took my, as I walked in, she was at the hospital in Good Sam. She, as I walked in there, she just took my face. She took her hands and just put her hands on my face and just wanted to just, and it was a little bit awkward, but there was such love coming from Martha. And when we lose somebody we love, you all, if they believe in Jesus, Jesus is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. He's going to bring them back, and we're going to see them face to face. Mary, you're going to see your sister again. You're going to see your brother again, because Jesus is alive. He's the faithful witness. He died and he rose again so that those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, we get to see them again. He's the faithful witness. That is his name. That is your name, his name. If we're stuck in grief and we're stuck in sorrow, remember his name. Those who know your name, they trust you. They trust you. Revelation 1:8. What is his name? The Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He started it. He started it. He created the world. And you all, he's the end of it too. And he's with us. That's who he is. That's his name. Fear not. I'm the first and the last, the living one. Behold, I died. I'm alive forevermore. Revelation 19. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. In his righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called the Word of God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those who know your name trust you. In God we trust. In God we rely. In God we rely on without suspicion. We need to repent of the things that we trusted in other than the Lord. We need to humble ourselves as a church. Because as the church goes, so a nation goes. And if we repent and we humble ourselves, I believe with all of my heart, God will bless a nation. But if we harden our heart and we're arrogant and we're proud, God will continue to take his hand off our nation. We're seeing that right now. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to be silent for a moment. Those things that I read about his name, what are those things that you need to know? You need to know that God's with you this morning. Do you need to know that his love is there? Do you need to know in the trauma in the past where it was so hard, God was, he really was Yahweh. He really was present there. Do you need to know him as the Word of God? Do you need to know him as the first and the last, the beginning and the end? Do you need to know him as the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead? Those are all of his names. As Emmanuel, as Savior, that's his name. And as we know his name, our trust in him, our reliance on him will grow. I just want to be silent before the Lord for a few moments. If there's anything that you need to confess silently before the Lord, let's do that now. You don't have to do this. If you'd like to come to the altar, you're welcome to do that. If you'd like to, I'm gonna get low. If anybody else wants to, you're welcome to do that too. But Lord, we come. We thank you, Jesus, that those who know your name trust you. You will not forsake the ones who seek your face. So Lord, we're here. And we thank you, Jesus, for our nation. We thank you, Jesus, that we can gather freely. We thank you for the promise of healing if we turn and we repent. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Say this with me out loud. Father, forgive us for not trusting in you wholeheartedly. Forgive us for our suspicion of your love, of your goodness, of your provision. Forgive us for trusting in ourselves instead of you, for trusting in our wealth instead of you. Forgive us for trusting in our leaders, in our self-sufficiency instead of you. Forgive us for judging other people and seeing the faults in others instead of ourselves. forgive us, we pray, for the glory and honor of your name. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood and empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, showing forth the fruit of the Spirit until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for the body broken. We thank you for the abundant life. Jesus, you said narrow is the gate and wide is the way that leads to death. And Lord, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Your very name is the Word of God. And Lord, we take you in. Lord, we want to trust in you and rely on you alone. We ask for healing of our heart, healing of our mind, healing of trauma. Lord, when we've doubted your love, forgive us. And Lord, we just say, Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. We take you in, Jesus. Take, eat. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that forgives all of our sins, that heals all of our diseases, that redeems our life from the pit. Lord, we thank you for your blood that heals, your blood that saves, your blood that makes us holy. And Lord, we just take that in now and we receive it. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you. We receive that now by faith in Jesus' name. So sweet to trust in Jesus. Please stand. us sensitivity to your Holy Spirit. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Lord, I pray all the days of our life that we would be a humble people, that our heart would be humble and broken before you. And Lord,